Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, the information station for God's great love for us with Pastor Vanessa and Bishop Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing giving other Christians room to grow. Started, I'm going to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise, and I'd like for you to invite all of your friends to join us in a lively discussion tonight about giving other Christians room to grow. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us, God. Father, I thank you for the desire that you've given us that we would not sin against you, God. Father, I thank you for the desire that you've given us to pray with you continually through our heavenly prayer language of speaking in tongues, God. Father, I thank you for your desire that you've given us to pray to you in our understanding, God, in our native language, God. Father, I thank the desire that you've given us to fellowship with like-minded believers, God, so that we can grow in you, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to fast from time to time so that we can learn to control our fleshly impulses and learn to submit our flesh to our spirit, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to focus on the true value of our soul so that we can come closer and closer and closer to your heart for our lives and walk into that more than abundant life that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for us to have. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to seek the lost, to win those souls for the kingdom so that your heavenly kingdom of many nations can come to fruition and we can please and serve you and trust you intentionally by doing this for you because of your love for us and our love for you. I thank you for this right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Fred Hammond, Loves in Need. to the Spirit Alive Network, God's great love for you. Discussion. And tonight we're going to be openly discussing what it means to give other Christians room to grow. And this is very important because we live during the Christian age. And what we have to know and understand is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But if what you're observing among the Christian ranks is nothing but debate, nothing but strife, nothing but bitterness, nothing but division, nothing but denominationalism, nothing but separation, nothing but pride and jealousy and envy and competition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all that chaos, then they are not going to be seeing the body of Christ Jesus Christ is coming back for. Jesus Christ is coming back for one body that is one love, where each part of that body, each joint is nourishing and guarding and strengthening the other joints and ligaments, etc., of the body of Christ. And we are all being led by the head, the one head of the body of Christ, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, so as natural body, your head directs everything that the body does. So Jesus Christ as the head is who we see through, it's who we hear through, it's who we smell through, it's who we taste through, it's who we are directed to move by the head, by Jesus Christ himself. And so we have to learn to do all things according to love. And once again, it's not about how much you know, it's about how much you care. I want to start tonight's discussion from the scripture, from a verse that is very pointed, that is very, very guiding in this discussion. It's in Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading from verses 13 to 15 in the New King James Version of the Bible, where it says, "For you, brethren, having been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an occasion, as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Right? See, we know that the scripture says that where there is strife, there is every evil work. And we do not want to be in strife as we debate, as we discuss, as we ponder the things of the scripture. We want to be walking in love in all things. So one of the questions that we have to ask and discuss tonight is it more important to be right and win a debate? Or is it more important to be loving and pull someone and share with them a more accurate knowledge of the truth than they may know at that given time? And see, one of those things takes humility. It takes humility to decide not to win the open debate, not to choose to be publicly right, but to pull someone that you respect, who has a working knowledge of the word, but now you're going to give them a more accurate working knowledge of the word so that they can fully become useful more useful to God than they already are. So I'm going to open this discussion up right now to anyone who wants to jump in to answer this question. Is it more important to be right and win a debate regarding the scripture or the things of Christ? Or is it more important to be loving and pull someone aside and share with them a more knowledge of the truth? I'm going to open this up for Pastor Vanessa to discuss, and then she's going to open up the mics of the other people on the show and let them jump in after she has her input.
So this is a good subject because it is another way that we bear one another's burdens. I like the scripture you that's one of those books that I am constantly finding myself in is in Galatians and dealing with all the inner conflicts as well as the heart of the people that they were serving that Paul was writing about. But it is better. You got to check yourself before you, before you wreck yourself. You got to check your motives of why you are feeling like you want to talk about something, or maybe you're just overly passionate about things. Back to what says to bear each other, to make sure we're in love towards one another, make sure our motives are pure. It doesn't mean that we can't challenge each other. There's a way to do it. The debate for debate's sake is nothing but create strife, and it also creates a condition where people are afraid to speak their mind, even if what they feel like they're going to be judged, right? They feel like they're going to be marked and avoided for whatever reason, because of the things that they have questions. And we have to be able to create, I believe, this is my thing about creating a safe environment where people can share and not afraid to ask questions and not afraid to be challenged or otherwise. And we need to make sure we're caring for one another. So that's my take in how we exchange with another and not take things personally. So I'm going to open up the mic for anyone who wants to speak, ending your number, ending 691, if you'd like to speak, you're live. Oh, if not, I'm going to open up the next one at 8846. Some people just may want to listen, and that's fine, too. We'll do anyone. But just letting you know that your mics are open if you do want to join us.
So the topic that we're discussing tonight is it more important to be and win a debate, or is it more important to be loving and pull someone aside and share more accurate truth? Actually, the topic is giving other Christians room to grow. But I'll tell you, one of the things that prevents this from is people deciding to have a monopoly on the truth. And if you decide that your organization or you or whoever has been your teacher or your guide or whatever organization you belong to has a monopoly on the truth and only their sanctions are the truth, then that is the beginning of this chaos. And unfortunately, the fact is that none of us know all of the word. And if we did, we would know the mind of God, and we would not need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us real-time word of knowledge that we need to know exactly when we need to know it, because there is no way any of us know everything. But through the Holy Spirit, we can know exactly what we need to know, when we need to know it, and receive word of wisdom to tell us how to use that knowledge to do with what through word of knowledge. So the reason why it's important for us to give other Christians room to grow is because we needed room to grow. I remember when I first received the Holy Spirit, and I was pretty young, and I did not know everything, of course not, right? No more than any other new Christian knows everything. And I had to grow in the word. I had to test what I was studying. I had to learn the differences between what people said and what the Word of God said. I had to learn to grow up to pick the bones, because people can get very excited and passionate in their oratory and in their presentation. And sometimes in that excitement, people say things that they have heard that they believe to be true, but they've not met against what's actually written in the Word of God. And so when that happens, instead of getting offended, because the Bible tells us not to be easily offended, what we should do is we should speak in tongues to ourselves and get peaceful. And if God opens the door and gives us an opportunity to lovingly pull that brother or sister aside and share with them what the Word of God says, then we should do that lovingly. And I'm going to share an example of that later on tonight. But right now, we live in an era of Christianity where there are a multitude of Christian denominations, and all of them claim to be Christian, but they all believe something different. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest examples of this is as it pertains to salvation, right? As it pertains to salvation, there's like a list of 7 to 8 things that we could say people should do in order to be saved, according to the scripture. And these 7 to 8 things are actually located in 3 different portions of scripture. They are located in Acts 2:38 and 39, in Romans 10:8 to 13, and Acts 19 verses 1 through 7. And it's interesting because that's a question that every Christian should be able to answer, is how do I become saved? How do I get salvation, right? But depending on what denomination you belong to, some are going to say what it says in Acts 19, 1 through 7. Some are going to say only what it says in Acts 2, 38 and 39. Some are only going to say what it says in Romans 10, 8 to 13. And some are going to pick 2 of those 3 scriptures. But very rarely will you hear a denomination claim all 3 portions of those scriptures in Acts 19:1 through 7, Acts 2:38 and 39, and Romans 10:8 to 13. And that fascinated me for a while. I said, why would certain Christian denominations embrace water baptism and certain Christian denominations reject water baptism? Why would certain Christian denominations embrace speaking in tongues and prophecy, and why would certain Christian denominations reject speaking in tongues and prophecy? Why would certain Christian denominations embrace confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master of your life and believing that God raised him from the dead, and certain Christian denominations reject that when it's right in the scripture, right? But if we allow the Bible to become the authority, then it's not a matter of us debating. All we have to do is share with others that the word says and leave it right there. No adding, no subtracting, no changing, no getting creative on it and turning the Bible into poetry or some interpretation of what the Bible says. Just reading what it says, because magnified his word above his name, right? And I believe a lot of our contentions come from people wanting to find something that they heard before in order to gain a greater audience or to gain greater acclaim or to make more money or expand the hold of their denomination or their sect or their group, right? But God tells us that we're to walk in love. We're not to cause division. As a matter of fact, it tells us we're to reject those and leave those alone who cause division among the brethren. It's among one of those things that God despises, right? And so I really do. I want to have this discussion tonight. I'm open for Pastor Vanessa Carver here to jump in and open this discussion about what does it mean to give other Christians room to grow? Because I'll tell you, when people understand that it's God's desire for them to be free, when it's God's desire to live a more than abundant life and no longer be in bondage of serving men, pleasing men, trusting men, and operating out of their own limited strength and abilities, but God is saying, I want you to be free and available for me, to serve me, to please me, to trust me, to obey me, then we're not trapped in religion trying to please people and jump through hoops and try things that we're just never gonna achieve. You're never going to make everybody happy. You're never going to have enough money. You're never going to know everything. And you're never going to have enough power all by yourself without the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Vanessa, what is it that you have to say about giving other Christians to grow?
One of the ways that God dealt with me about this topic years and years ago in ministry, and even in my home, starting in my home, was seeing people the way that he sees them, and whether seeing them the way that he sees them. And that is my, that's the biggest influence, is seeing through the eyes of God, my own, not knowing them according to the flesh, treating them, oh, you should know better, why are you doing this, or not doing this, but seeing them the way that he sees them and allowing the Holy Spirit to show me how to treat them, how to see them, how to see them, how to serve. And it started with seeing people acting out. This is a term that we use a lot in the body of Christ as I was growing up, is saying that they must be going through something because they sure are acting out. And that was just a term a lot when we saw, or God's dealing with them. That's what I mean. God's dealing with them because they sure are acting out. And some people were resisting. You would see people resisting. But one of the things is that the Lord would say to me, give people room to grow like they gave you room to grow. Give them space. Understand where they are is not who they are, and not to judge. It really was a conversation centered around not judging people. And these are the very people that you have to serve. These are the people in your own house. These are sometimes even with your own self, how you are judging your own process. You understand it, or you're not embracing it. So you begin to judge your own process. And if you're comfortable judging your own process, you're definitely going to judge somebody else's process. And I'm talking about healing and being restored, or all that encompasses being developed and being a son or a daughter of God. It's never pretty. It's not good to look at sometimes, but you really have to make yourself see them through the eyes of Christ. And when you begin to choose to do that, then it'll allow them to, if you're going to be in their life, if you're in their, if there's a sphere of influence that involves them, you're going to be a safe place. You're going to be also a place that challenges negative thinking or anything that comes against their identity in Christ. You're going to do it the way that God does it or says it to you. And that's where that term comes from, giving people room to grow. They're growing. And, you know, and when, so I look at this too. I'll, gave me this analogy. I have six kids, and we love them all the same, but we don't treat them all the same because they're all different. That doesn't mean they don't get the wrong difference in one, but we have to learn who they are, and we're still learning who they are, and we still love them. And God had to slow me down one day when I was looking at one of my kids, and I had to do. And he said, love them the way that you love, that somebody loved you when you were in the vulnerable place. How did I love you, or how did other people love you when you were in an ugly place, or were you in a dark place, or were you where you felt alone and you were acting out? How did people treat you? Well, I will be honest and say there were two things that were going on. There were two people treated me. Some people stayed all the way away from me. They didn't want to have anything to do with me. People in my family, as well, them to be around me either. So it was mutual. And then there were people that loved me where I was. That's what I think it means, in my opinion, based on my experience with God and me, and based on what the Word is saying, to love people where they are, to know no man according to the flesh. And Paul, you know, not Paul, but there's a scripture, and I'll look it up, about... It says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, and we have to be the same. And that was about, I think that was about Samuel.
Well, I want to jump in here for a minute, because one of the things that allows us to give others room to grow is by walking in our individual ministries. One of the things that I've found is that there are those in the body of Christ who have a particular ministry of mercy. They are able to minister to others who are in a very fragile state, or typically new believers or believers who have been impacted by severe trauma. And these ministers who are able to extend mercy to even the most fragile souls, they have a very specific gift, because the Bible says those who have a gift of mercy learn to extend that gift of mercy in a way that is unlimited, that is intentional, right? Then it says that there are those who have a gift of giving. And if you are in contact with those who are in need and you are generous, it says be generous in your gift of giving. Then there are those who have a gift of hospitality, who are dealing with people who feel like alone and destitute and homeless. And these people with the spirit of hospitality are able to minister to them and let them feel important and embraced. And they're able to be that safety net. But when I say giving other Christians room to grow, I'm literally talking about other Christians.
Right.
Because we, as a body of Christ, are guilty many times of feeding our pearls to swine. We are eager to give all of the resources of the church to outsiders, and we have neglected those inside of our assemblies, right? And God is telling us, look, don't be so easily offended by your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be so eager to push people away because you disagree with them on a technicality, on a theological debate or theological issue. I'm going to give you a great example of this. I was at a church one time, and this particular church, here's a better background, is I was brought up in a church where they didn't believe in water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And in this particular church I was going to, they believed in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38 and 39. And I was not instructed according to that. I was instructed in Romans 10:8-13, where it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, Master of your life, and that you believe in your heart that God from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what I was taught, right? And I believe that to the extent I spoke in tongues and prophesied and operated in the manifestations of the Spirit. And so I knew I was saved because I had the Holy Spirit in operation, but I did not have a complete working knowledge of the scripture as it pertained to water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the repentance of sin. And so when I became knowledgeable according to the scripture, I had to humble myself and literally undo over 2 decades of teaching before I humbled myself and submitted and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in water. And it was amazing because that level of submission and humility to the truth after 2 decades of other teaching, right? The Holy Spirit is what led me into a more accurate knowledge of the truth. There really wasn't a person who was saying, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. on, but no one really asked. I was given the opportunity, as the Holy Spirit led me through the scriptures, to see things in Acts and other places where baptism was referred to very specifically. And I couldn't escape it. And there was a point at which the weight of the word was enough to convict me to change. And see, it's about you being loyal to other people who may have introduced you to the Word of God. I'll tell you, there are many great people. There are many great organizations. These people mean well. Whoever sowed into your life, right? The Word of God says one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. It's only what God does to give the increase that matters, because those who sowed into your life were thankful for them and they will get the reward. Those who watered the word in your life, they will get their reward and we're thankful for them also. But we do not acknowledge those individuals because the word says that one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. The one that matters is God giving the increase. The other individuals, they'll get their reward from God, but as it pertains to us, when we spend our time focusing on those people that is taking away from God's Son, Jesus Christ, and we need to be careful about that. So when I speak of us giving other Christians room to grow, we have to really begin to embrace humility and understand that all of us, before we were saved, were enemies of God. And then God decided to draw us to him. The desire to God comes from God. And because of that, we are all to be humble, because we were all enemies of God at one point. So I'm going to share with you a specific example of this. In the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 24 to 28, speaks of the ministry of Apollos. Now it says in verse 24, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately in the Lord, though he knew only of the baptism of John." He only knew about water baptism and repentance from sin, right? Look at what it says in verse 26. "So he, Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." They didn't publicly humiliate him and say, "You're wrong."
Right.
He was being bold in the synagogue, speaking what he knew at that point. But when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So now he was empowered for accurate knowledge because Aquila and Priscilla walked in love after they heard his limited teaching only the baptism of John, only water baptism for the repentance of sin. And they explained to him the word more accurately. Now, I'm going to show you how this becomes relevant, especially in this discussion of what I'm talking about regarding my understanding of receiving the Holy Spirit versus water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Look at what it says here in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. This is Paul at Ephesus, and he's literally speaking of Corinth. Look at what it says. It says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'As much as heard where the Holy Spirit.'" Remember, Apollos, water baptism of John. Look what it says in verse 3. "And he said to them, 'In what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'In the John baptism.' which is a baptism of repentance. And look what it says in verse 4. It says, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, right? Here's the thing, is when we get to the point where the Word of God, a more accurate knowledge of the truth, and someone shares with us a greater, more accurate knowledge of the truth, a more complete, accurate knowledge of the truth, then things change. And see, what you have to understand is there was something that was taught before Jesus Christ was crucified, and then there was something that was taught and available after Jesus Christ was crucified. When John the Baptist was baptizing according to repentance, it was not available for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit, because that could only happen after Calvary, after the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. But after Jesus Christ had paid the price, then it was not only necessary to be water baptized in repentance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was necessary to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and to receive the Holy Spirit into manifestation. And it said that when after he heard, the Holy Spirit came upon them and spoke with tongues and prophesied. That's important. And it's important for us to understand that God wants a level of intimate relationship with each and every one of us, and his word is intended to transform us. See, Spirit Alive Network, we call this the transformation station, because the word of God is intended to transform you into living a more than abundant life and being free from sin, free from guilt, free from doubt, free from worry, free from fear, free from unbelief. And when you're free, then you are available for God to use you, right? But what happens many times in Christianity is we make this competition between those who are practicing their religion better than others practice their religion. And in the course of trying to practice your religion, ignoring God's religion, which is to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love yourself, and to love others in the body of Christ. And so when you are not just love others in the body of Christ, you're to love your enemies also. You know why? Because your enemies are those who are potentially brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember when the Apostle Paul was named Saul, and he was persecuting the Jews, the apostles, the disciples of Jesus Christ, right? He was persecuting them. He was having them thrown into jail and killed. And when Jesus Christ met him and blinded him on the road to Emmaus, and he changed him, he taught him. He led him to one who taught him and instructed him. And then Paul became one of the brethren, one of the chiefest of apostles. He was an apostle to not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. And what's amazing about that is that that's why we have to learn to love our enemies, because our enemies are potentially our future brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, that was another thing about that whole dynamic, is they didn't exactly trust Paul when he showed up claiming to be converted, claiming to see Jesus Christ, claiming to be transformed. We're like, hey, we know you to be a Christian killer, the authority from those priests to improve and to have us executed. So how do you treated him, right? Well, we have that same kind of dynamic in the church, especially in the United States, between white and black people. We got some issues We have some serious, long-term, long-standing issues of justice and inequality and oppression and all of these things that we know God calls for, right? And yet, we know these people who at one time were and oppressors and enslavers are now our brethren in Christ, and we have to love them as such. We have to see them as such. We have to look at these people not through, we're to regard no person according to the flesh, but we're to regard all brethren and sisters, our brothers and sisters in Christ according to the Spirit, and see them as our brothers and sisters in Christ. And where we do not have a working knowledge of the truth of the Word of God and move forward, we are to gain a greater understanding by humbling ourselves to the authority of the Word of God and understand that God magnified His Word above His name. And when we magnify God's Word above His name, we're not asking what minister so-and-so said or doctor so-and-so said or PhD so-and-so said or what apostle so-and-so said. We don't care what these people say. What we care about is what does the Word of God say, right? And that requires us to study. That requires us to know. That requires us to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as we're led by the Holy Spirit, we're empowered. We're empowered to know that God has given us the answers, and He's going to give us exactly what we need to know, exactly when we need to know it. So I want to invite Dr. Vanessa Carver to talk about exactly what that means to her. How does the Bible give you the opportunity to give other Christians room to grow? Woman of God.
Is there anyone on the show, once again, who would like to give some insight about this topic, about giving your brother and sister room to grow? If you do, you can please speak up. If not, I will continue to elaborate on what the scripture says. That scripture that I was talking about was in 1 Samuel 16 and 7, and it was how Samuel was being led to anoint, to find another king. God had rejected Saul. And so he said, you know, man looks at the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart. And when it comes to allowing people to, now that we have Holy Spirit, if we submit it to the Holy Spirit, we got to take a moment and begin to see them. God sees them, and that's really important. And this topic makes me think of a lot of times when we feel like we want to, you can lovingly confront, you can lovingly correct each other, but we also need to make sure, check our motive and make sure that we're not comparing ourselves to them or their process to our process, good, bad, or indifferent. Because a lot of times if we're not, we allow that to get in the way of how we handle people. It's really important to handle people with care, to be loving to them, to really learn to listen and follow through to the Holy Spirit when it comes to taking care of people as it pertains to their will, their mind, and their emotions. It's really careful. And sometimes that takes practice to learn to love them and learn to love them while they learn. Learn to love them where they are and also learn to love them anyway. And that just means you're going to see some things, you're going to deal with some things, especially when it comes to those who are new. And especially, well, I won't even say that. It sometimes has a lot to do with people that are just in different levels of growth. And just because they've been in church forever or you've known them forever or you're familiar doesn't mean, well, they should be this. Or you looking at a title or you looking, if God allows you to see something that is a weakness or a vulnerability, don't take advantage of that and begin something that says, that they say is going to be filtered through you judging them by saying, oh, they have no business in that platform or they have no business. Everybody's got some place where they need to come up in. Everybody needs some level of compassion where they are. It's hard to be a leader. And I do believe this is specifically me talking to leaders, not this whole show, but this piece right now is leaders. We need to pray for our leaders more fervently and more consistently, especially those with big platforms, because they all kinds of things and some things that they're going through and we never will know. That's still is an example of giving your brother and sister room to grow, to accept who they are, to embrace it, to go through transition when God is pouring into them so that they can continue to pour into others. They are maybe growing in different levels in their family that we don't see. They may do ministry great, but they may be going through some challenge in their family. They may be going through different transitions in the ministry that we have no idea or no information about. So show compassion and learn to pray and cover your position in a way specifically that God is leading you. Don't judge. Don't be surprised when God shows you a weakness, not for you to exploit or tell someone else or whatever, but to just love them where, Lord, how do I cover them? How do I pray for them? How do I interact with them? Say, what do I not say as well? Because I think it's they need to know that their hands are being held up. Just like Aaron and Miriam were there to hold up Moses' hands, we in the body of Christ need to bear one another's burdens. And that leads me to Galatians 6 specifically. I'm going to read this because this came to me when he said, come. Okay, no, it's in Galatians 6, which talk about bearing each other's burdens. But I specifically want to read it in the Amplified, because Amplified brings it out for, you know, amplified way. It says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, not by your experience, not by what somebody else said, not what somebody else told you to do, or not what you think you should do, the Spirit should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. I'm just going to let the word speak on its own by itself. And I want to ask my husband, Bishop Carver, is how do you see it as, would you like to add in Galatians 6, verses 1?
Well, I will say that the thing that stands out to me is that as it pertains to lifting up those who have and then not looking on them as from a superior state of mind, is understanding that we all at one time have missed the mark. We all at one time, if not now, are equally capable of succumbing to the flesh and being overtaken by circumstances. When we lean to our own understanding, and when we don't renew our mind to what the word says, we become subject to those impulses of the flesh that lead us into strife, lead us into anger, lead us into jealousy, lead us into selfish ambition and see, that's what causes so much harm to the body of Christ, is when we begin fighting one another, using our knowledge of the word as a competition in order to try to gain an advantage over others. And usually why that is people are looking for a greater platform, looking for more attention. They're looking for more money. They're looking for more notoriety. They're looking for more influence. They're looking for more likes. To whatever they're looking for, right? And unfortunately, you can't serve God and serve money. You got to choose. You can't serve God and you can't please God and please people. You got to choose. You can't trust God and lean to your own understanding. You got to choose. And so God is saying, hey, you know what? When you get to the point where what I want is good enough, then you're going to be free and you're going to be able to free others. And that is a tremendous blessing. That is a tremendous privilege. I want to share with you the mind of God real quick. And I'm going to be reading straight from the scripture. I'm going to be sharing with you Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 21 from the New King James Version of the Bible. And I want you to hear God's heart because it's going to share with you how God wants us to operate as a body so that we give one another room to grow without all the nonsense, right? Look what it says. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That word beseech is to beg. I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy is your gift, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry is our gift. Let us use it in our ministering. For those who teach in teaching, use your ministry in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he or she who gives, give with liberality. He who leads, lead with diligence. Or he or she who shows mercy, show mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with others. Do not be your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, that's God's message to us. And when we agree with God's word, then we're not all short. Our reward is going to be intact, and we are going to be able to give other people room to grow because we're going to be following instruction. We're not going to be coming up short and questioning, oh, what should I do now? God's told you what to do. You need to decide to come in agreement with his word and submit and tell your flesh no. Tell your flesh no, because see, if you see your enemy hungry, it is not a fleshly response to feed him. If you see your enemy, your flesh wants him to starve so that he can go away, starve to death, disappear, right? And I'm sure the apostles thought that way about Saul. When Saul was persecuting them, trying to put them in jail, trying to kill them, right? I'm sure they had the thought that they would like for this guy to go away. But God was telling the disciples, telling the apostles, do to him. Teach him, instruct him, embrace him, because my son Jesus Christ called him to be among you as one. The chief apostle to the Gentiles. That's an amazing calling for a former Christian killer, right? And so now we have to prepare ourselves to deal with some people that we would not normally deal with. It is a shame and ungodly reality that the most segregated day in the United States, Sunday, that's absurd. It's outrageous. It is evil. And yet we are to grow past our history, past our daily reality in many cases, and live according to the scripture so that we repay no one evil for evil. I'll tell you, in the United States, that's one of the biggest fears. One of the fears of people in the dominant culture is that those who openly oppress harm throughout ages would seek vengeance, pay evil for evil. Now, in the world, we have to be concerned about these things. In Christ, you should not have to be concerned about these things. As a matter of fact, our love walk should set us apart from all the chaos in the world. And so we should be able to look like the heavenly kingdom of many nations that God is calling for on Sunday. It doesn't, and that means we have to give people the room to grow. Race don't just Christian races overnight. And Pastor Vanessa has something she wants to say.
And this works in the opposite. I mean, some people don't mind if it's not, but some people believe that black people can be racist, or, and I'm talking about people in the body of Christ. We might have our biases and our prejudices, and you can't compare that because we don't have the power. If you are a child of God, you better watch that if you have the Holy Spirit in you and you have the Holy Spirit and you are submitted, he's coming for you with and being divided in your heart. Despite living in the country that we live in and seeing this stuff every day, it's it to the point where you allow it to be a filter in how you decide who you love and who you don't love, or who you, whether it's your wife or how you love. And we got to be honest with ourselves. And I feel like giving our brothers and sisters, because that's the context, our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, room to grow, which means you will see some of these biases, you will see some of these prejudices, whether it's our Caucasian brothers and sisters or whether it's our brothers and sisters. I mean, it seems like it's easy to divide us than to unite us. It makes me think of the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to mention that too. After I get done talking about how we give each other room to grow and how we love to learn each other and walk in love. But one of the last things I'm going to mention in detail is the fruit of the Spirit versus the fruit of the works of the flesh. Fruit versus works. Works versus fruit. We need to talk about that. And that's something that sometimes we have to remind ourselves. What are you producing? What are you producing? Is this about your flesh or is this about the fruit of the Spirit? And it's very simple, complicated with all these ideologies. And because we know so much, we still have to submit to the Holy Spirit. We still have to let the word do the work in our hearts because it's always coming back to the heart. So we have knowledge but can't apply it because we lean to our own understanding. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. And so, I mean, I just want it to be, how we give room to grow is just like when I was reading in Galatians about not thinking higher of yourself, dealing with your own self, and beware because you might fall into the same trap. When you care, when you compete, you look at your brother less than because they're maybe in a dark place or maybe they're growth, healed and restored. And it says our job is to restore them. It may not be hands-on. It may just be you being able to pray for them from afar. But people react how you treat them. You may not seem to them, but it's how you treat them. And that's really important. And I believe we as the body of Christ have to really work on that by allowing God to work on us and just remembering what the word says and intentionally agreeing with the word and doing it. And that's it. And that's our focus on our own issues. Then we can really help each other and not for people to be seen, but really behind the scenes is what we do when no one is looking that matters.
Amen, Pastor Vanessa. I know that, you know, God says in his word that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And grace is God's favorite. It's all the great things we get from God that we don't deserve. And it's also his enabling power to do whatever he's given us to do. So we have the ability, what God asks us to do. And to humble ourselves to God and his word and not worry about what it's going to look like. Because you know what? I'm sure when the disciples embraced the Apostle Paul, it looked crazy and it probably felt crazy to them. But that was their obedience and submission to God. And it was interesting because you saw them come up with some interesting caveats. They're like, yeah, you can be an apostle, but to the Gentiles. Well, you know, if God called him to be an apostle to the Jews and the Gentiles, then he's an apostle to the Jews and the Gentiles, right? But they said, oh, you can be an apostle to the Gentiles because we're not sure about you, brother. And I'll tell you, I've been in environments like that. You ever gone into some churches and they have a secret code? It's almost like a club. And there'll be certain things that they would say to people that they know are members of their church, meaning they are tithes-paying members. Give you an example. I belong to this one church. Go in, and everybody who was an established member of the church, they say, ah, God bless, God bless, God bless. And it was kind of like a code. And if you saw those people on the street, you'd say, ah, God bless, right? Well, there was another church I was part of, and they would say, praise the Lord. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. And I was thinking they would say, you know, just say praise the Lord to everybody, right? But I discovered these people only said praise the Lord to members of the church. And so I discovered when people realized that I wasn't an official member of this church, they stopped saying praise the Lord to me. And then after I got baptized, they started saying praise the Lord. You're right. And I said, that's weird. That's not right. That can't be right. And it felt weird, right? But then what I started doing was I just started saying praise the Lord to everybody because we should always be praising the Lord at all times, right? And it doesn't matter if you're a member of my...
Did you ever stop to think that, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, giving this example makes me think that treat us a certain way, we always feel like, oh, well, okay, I get it, or there's some that they're treating, but we never stop to think they need to grow. They're the ones that need to grow. And we just got saved, or maybe we knew, and we get treated a certain way, and that is still us in forgiving them or just overlooking it, because it does talk about us overlooking certain things. It says love covers a multitude of sin, and I do believe sometimes we never stop to think maybe they're the ones that need to grow.
And you know what? That, I think, is a very important truth and a very important part of humility, because, see, God says that every day we get new grace and new mercy every day. You know why you get new mercy every day? Because you need it. You know what mercy is? I said grace, God's unmerited favor, all the great things we get from God. And then grace is also his enabling power, whatever he gives us to do. Well, God's mercy is important and we get it free and new every day. And God's mercy is the judgment that we deserve. It's that what you deserve for operating in your flesh and getting angry and cussing somebody out or doing something you know you shouldn't have done and slamming the door, hanging up the phone or throwing a tantrum or whatever it is you do naturally according to your flesh, right? Some people just fight all the time, right? When God says, hey, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, you leave that to me. You don't go chasing every battle you see, right? And as a matter of fact, God says, let me fight your battles. I'm going to get glory out of this. Stand down, right? And see, when we get to the point where we learn to obey God and resist our flesh, then we're in a place where we can get glory for God. But God is trying to get us to the point where we can grow, where we can give others room to grow, submitting to his word and saying, you know what? I'm going to let myself led by the Spirit, and I'm going to follow after peace. I'm not going to repay anyone evil for evil. As a matter of fact, I'm going to overcome good, right? Profound. And it's one of those things that lets love walk. As we're affectionate to one another, our love walk becomes the testimony. See, many of us, when we realize we are living epistles, we literally are the only word of God many people will see. And people are going to see God working in you and taking you from grace to grace and faith to faith. And then when you humble yourself to God, you're going to get, and so that mercy that we get every day, understanding we need that mercy, understanding that mercy is ours to have, that is something that is amazing. Now, new caller 9097, and if you wish to speak on this topic of giving other Christians room to grow, feel free to jump in. And anyone else who's online who would like to speak on this topic of giving other Christians room to grow, you know, if we did this and we decided that we were no longer going to have denominations, we were no longer going to have our separate organizations of this is the black version of this church and the white version of this church and the Asian version of this church and the Hispanic version of this church, and said we're going to be a heavenly kingdom of many nations and our church is going to look like heaven. It's going to look like a heavenly kingdom. You know how awesome that is? The idea of that. But do you realize what it would take in a transformation and across of the way that we as Christians practice today, the type of overhaul it would take now to change. Is there anyone wants to speak on that? Because this, yes, feel free to speak. Your mic is on and ready to go, and we are ready to hear anyone. I'll tell you that we are looking for the word of God to spread and for life change. Looking for transformation within the body of Christ so that we become those who glorify God, those who give God ability within our lives as we humble ourselves and exchange with the end of helping to a more accurate the truth without the spirit of debate, without fighting one another, without being those who help to tear down instead of helping to up. Share with you some scriptures of how Jesus Christ is our example in all of this. Look at what it says in 1 Peter 2:21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, right? And that's an important truth. We are to follow the steps of Jesus Christ and look at his example of how he suffered for us, right? Look at what it says in 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. What it says in Ephesians 5:1-2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, smelling savor. See, we have had a great price paid for us, and we are no longer our own. And So we can no longer walk according to our own precepts, according to our own ideas, according to our own agendas. And we have to give our brothers and sisters room to grow so that they too can come to a more perfect knowledge of just as we daily, as we study God's word, are coming to a more perfect knowledge of the truth. I want to give Pastor Vanessa one last opportunity to speak on the subject of giving other Christians room to grow. And I'm going to allow her to close with a word of prayer after her statement, and then we're going to have a final song of praise. So, Pastor Vanessa.
I just want to close out, started with the word and ending with the word, and want to invite everyone that listened. We thank you for listening in. Please don't feel any pressure about commenting, but we just want to invite you because we want to hear what you have to say, and we appreciate this opportunity of sharing with you tonight. I want to end with about walking in the Spirit, and I want to end with the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And when it comes to allowing someone else to grow in the body of Christ, these are the things that are my compliance, I guess you could say. This is my check. And this is what God uses a lot of times to remind me about many things. But when it comes to how we treat one another and how we give people room to grow, this is a great compliance list. But I say, walk by the Spirit. This is in Galatians 5, verses 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, pause, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified us with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit or walk with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So Father God, first of all, I thank you for this opportunity, for you're Lord over our lives, that we need to learn to submit to you in all our and not lean to our own understanding when it comes to allowing our brother and our sister in Christ to grow and recognizing it through your eyes and to know no man after the flesh, not to judge them, not to say things to them that are unkind or think unkind things about them. Bring places of repentance and places of restitution and restoration even in ourselves, as it mentions in Galatians 6, how we're to watch ourselves and be careful of the things that are going on in ourselves, that we check our mind to your holy, precious word. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray for those who are growing, who are developing, and that we submit and that we learn how to serve each other better through you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, the Transformation Station, God's Great Love for Us with Bishop Lester and Pastor Carver, be ye transformed.
All right, y'all know what time it is. Uh-huh. Y'all might as well get with it. Holding name, he controls. trying to do. We got to move on. We got to move on. Oh.